What would you do if you were outside in the middle of the desert at night watching a UFO? The next thing you know, you are inside your truck and you'd lost 3 hours of time. Stay tuned. Mystery Media Group presents Ben's UFO Encounter.
You are listening to Mystery Media Group.
Yay!
Hi, I'm Melissa.
And I'm Mike, and we are Destination Mystery.
Destination Mystery paints the story for paranormal content, abnormal adventures, and the fun behind the investigations.
We believe the paranormal is all around us. Each week, we'll take you to a new destination where we will try and solve the mystery. This is not the same old ghost story you've heard before. We will not only tell the spooky story, we'll go to the remote location to investigate for ourselves.
Fasten your seatbelts and put on your helmet as we take you on a new adventure that will leave you questioning what you've always thought about the paranormal.
So this is Ben with Central Utah Paranormal. We contacted through Instagram. I'm in Northern Utah, Ben's in Central Utah, and we talked back and forth a little bit regarding like, hey, I'm coming down your way. What's a good location for me to go to, et cetera. But I noticed that Ben had been posting a lot of UFO videos. And so I invited him to be part of a live that I did with Miriam a couple months ago, maybe. Some really UFO footage. And I was like, that is the strangest thing I've ever seen. So let's invite Ben and see what he thinks. And then he shared a really cool story. So I'm hoping that Ben will share that story again.
Yeah, I'll share my story.
And
I'm
also,
very excited to hear this.
It's a good story. Also, listen, UFO stories are my favorite. And also, when I was with Miriam and Ben on our last live, I had some equipment going and it kind of went nuts. And so I have it going again just to see if it will do the same thing. So I have my REM pod, my flashlight, my EMF detector, and my Ovilus all going right now. So if the aliens want to talk, they're free to come through. Ben with Central Utah Paranormal, tell us how you got started in investigating the paranormal.
I think like I grew a fascination with it at a young age. Sorry, I have allergies, so I apologize if I'm sniffling while I'm doing this.
We all do. It's fine. And I just got the word stressed on my obelisk. So,
yes that stressed. Too. We all have those weird things that happen to us when we're young, and you try and explain it to an adult, and it's your imagination or you're overthinking things or all of the standard answers that parents would give you. And those were the answers I got. So I kind of stopped sharing my experiences with at least adults, not with my parents. Then I had like this weird paranormal dehydration era where I had nothing happen to me for like years and years. And so then you start thinking, oh, maybe it was just my head. Maybe I was just thinking things. Then we had some pretty crazy experiences that led me towards investigating as a hobby to see if I could do it, to see if I could learn. And that turned into when I started actually getting stuff and voices and screams and disembodied voices. And
this is when you started investigating the paranormal?
Yes. That was when I was like, okay, like I really want to do this. And I remember it was about 2017. I made my own website. Like I made all this stuff. None of it was active. And I was just waiting for someone weird enough to do it with me. And I had a guy come to start working with me, and He's actually a nurse, and he would start being like, hey, like, there's this weird stuff. And because the place I work is fairly haunted as well. And he was very attuned to that. So he would be like, hey, like, all this weird stuff's happening. And everyone there was like, go talk to Ben. Like, just go talk to Ben. Don't talk to me about it. I don't care.
Did you love it? They came and talked to you about it?
Oh yeah. Because everyone would come tell me their experiences. And I was like, tell me.
Right. I got to your ride again.
Again. So anyways, my friend Randy from work, I threw out the pitch to him. I was like, hey, I have everything. I have the website. I have the logo. I just had to start an Instagram, really was it. And me and him just kicked it off, and we officially founded it in 2019, but it had been in the makes with just the stuff I was doing myself, I guess, to practice and hone my skills for about 2 years previous from that.
And your Instagram grew pretty fast.
Yeah, it was really slow at first, but it wasn't until I started sharing my love of alien footage or UFO footage, that was when it really, I went from like 2,000 followers to like 12,000 followers in a month.
That's crazy.
And people just, it was nice to be able to share videos and hear what they thought and if they could debunk it, if it had been proven to be right or wrong. Or I just liked being a part of that, because there were some videos I'd share and I'd be like, even I was kind of like, I don't know about this one. And you, like, you know, you always have your trolls that are like, you're so effing dumb. Why did you even think that this was real? And I'm like, right. I just wanted to hear what everyone else had to say.
Exactly. I just want to know.
And yep. Some people would just get so mad. Like, don't share this if you know it's fake. I'm like, I don't know. That's why I'm sharing it.
Do you mind sharing any stories from when you were young that maybe sparked the interest?
Yeah. There's actually, I always try to think of stories that I haven't shared. Like, I feel like I share the same story a lot, but I remember when I was in fifth grade, one of my best friends was over at my house, and we had only been, my dad built our house, like, with his brothers, and I think we moved in Christmas of 1999, and I was 10. So it was winter. We didn't really have everything in the house yet, and my friend came over, and it was just me and him at the house. And we started feeling really weird and started hearing stuff. And he was like, oh, I've seen like shows. Let's try talking to this. And I was like,
this was the house your dad had just built?
Yeah, we had just moved in.
Oh, just moved in. Okay.
And yeah, so we'd been in maybe a month. It was either in December or in January when this event happened. But anyways, we start hearing these weird noises, and my friend's like, hey, I've seen like shows where they'll talk to things like this. We just have to think of a way that it can answer so we'll know what the answer is. And I remember it was a blizzard outside. It was just snowing like crazy. And he said, okay, if you can understand us, I want you to tap twice for yes and once for no. And you hear this ting, ting. And we're both like,
Did that really happen?
so we're 10, and it was almost that Ghost Adventures moment when we just go running out of the house screaming. Like, we just asked for communication, but we weren't actually expecting it,
right?
Kind of a thing. And so we keep asking questions, and we start freaking out. And I'm like, okay, this is too much. And we both kind of freaked ourselves out because it answered two taps, one taps for at least five more questions. I don't really remember what we asked. And then we went outside and I was like, let's just go out on the porch. I had a semi-covered porch. So we just put our jackets and stuff on. I'm like, let's just go sit outside till my dad gets home. And we're sitting out there and we're watching the snow. And it's like big flakes that are falling down. And you could start to see someone walking through the snow.
Did you hear that? You're right again.
My goodness. So we're sitting on this chair, and I remember my friend was like, I think I see something walking in the snow. And I was like, I was thinking the same thing. Not footprints, but you could see a shape walking through the snow. like it was snowing heavy enough that you could see a space. And we were both just freaking out because, you know, we just came from inside where we got freaked out. Sure. So now we're outside getting freaked out. I don't know how to explain it other than have you ever, like, you know, wafer board, like how you can peel off pieces of the board and it'll come off fairly thin. Uh-huh. That's the best way I can explain it. But anyways, all of a sudden some came by really fast and it stuck into my friend's jacket. And it was this piece of wafer board that how would have it even flown towards him more or less in the middle of a blizzard in a snowstorm. And so then he freaked out and he actually left and ran to his house because his house was two blocks away from mine. Oh, and he was like, no, no. He just took off. So now I'm sitting on my porch alone.
Waiting for your dad.
Freaking out. And I can't remember if I stayed at my house and waited for my dad or my mom's dad, my grandpa lived next door. And I think I just ran next door. But of course, that next morning, my friend went to school and was like, oh, Ben's new house is haunted. I had to like,
known as the weird kid.
Yeah, I was like, I'm already weird enough. Like, let's not make this worse.
I was too. It's fine.
But that's one of the, I think the start of my dry period. Like, I didn't have really any scary events after that till I was probably 15, 16 years old.
Were you in the same house when those events started occurring?
They were mostly at other places, like places that I worked, different places throughout in my teenage years and my younger childhood were really the only things until I started my career. I work in a jail and jails just harbor darkness. Yeah. There's just lots of nasty stuff, nasty, weird stuff that happens all the time there. And that just feeds into the darker realm of the paranormal, which I experience fairly on a daily basis at work.
Wow. You got through your younger years, you got into your teenage years, and you started having a little bit more experiences as you went into your job sites then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what prompted you to start the Central Utah Paranormal? Just a fascination mm-hmm. for it?
Yeah. So you mean like before I made it official?
Right.
Okay. So another story. When I was going to college, I went to college at Dixie State University. Before it was a university, I think it was called Southern Utah Tech, or I can't remember what it was called. But I got to go on a biology trip and we went to California. We stayed on the Queen Mary and then we went to, what's that island just outside of Catalina?
Catalina.
Went to Catalina. So I got to stay on the Queen Mary.
Lucky.
And yeah, I thought everyone was just nuts, right? Because the next morning, everyone's like, oh, all this stuff happened to me. And I'm like, no, like, you're so full of crap. And no, you didn't. Like, nothing happened. And so a few years later, and at that time, my wife and I were married too. We've been married for almost 10 years. So it's my turn to pick where we're going for our anniversary. And I was like, hey, there's this really cool ship, the sister ship to the Titanic. And I told her like all the history because I loved all the history behind it. The Gray Ghost, and it was the fastest ship of its size and how it held prisoners of war. And like, it was all these different things. And she was like, okay, that sounds really cool. I'm like, okay, so let's go. And so I get everything set up and we stay there for 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I just remember we got there and right when you walk on, have you ever been on the Queen Mary?
A couple of times. I've never stayed there, okay. But I've toured it several times.
So, you know, the gift shops, like right when you walk in.
Yep.
And they have books that tell all the stories of all the crazy stuff that's happened there. And there's another book that is a story submitted by people that have stayed there that they republish every so many years and add more stories to.
Right.
And I really wish I would have bought that one. But my wife, Marissa, bought the one that just had the crazy stories, like the people that murdered people and all that kind of stuff on the ship and talked about where all the different ghosts were and everything. This was when I was still very hobbyist. Like I had the EMF detector and I thought everything was a ghost, you know, when you're still learning how to do everything.
Yep.
And so we get our stuff. And as we're walking to our room, Marissa's reading these stories, and she's just every like six doors, she's like, oh my gosh, this happened here. This happened here. This happened here. Like, where the hell are you taking me?
I had no idea, I swear.
I'm like, I paid pretty good money, so I didn't think we were going to get the haunted side of the ship. But anyways, so we get to our room, and she's like, there's no way. And of course, I'm like, okay, what happened here? Because she's just explained everything else as we've walked down this corridor. And she's like, Dad killed his wife here and then drowned his two little girls in the bathtub.
No way.
Right across from our door.
Oh, wow.
And so she pulls out her phone and does like a Snapchat story and is like, oh my gosh, this is where we are. And kind of like, not like pokes fun at it, but is like, you know, this happened right here. This is our room. And anyways, they gave us the wrong room and we end up one more door further down.
Oh, no.
And that night, you know, we get all of our stuff set up. We go to bed, and I hate that it's always around the same time. I like to believe things happen at other times of the day and night, but about 2 o'clock in the morning, sure, which would have been 3 o'clock Utah time, if that matters. I wake up to my wife and she's saying my name, but it's very, very, very faint. It was like a whisper, just like, and I woke up and I like reach over and I go to ask her if she's okay, and she starts freaking out. She's like, something was just choking me, something was just holding me into the bed. And I'm like, so you know, I jump up out of bed, turning on all the lights.
Was this your first night there?
Yeah, first night. And so go, you know, check the doors are still deadbolted, the little latch is still on. I go in the bathroom, I turn the light on, and I notice across my chest, I had 3 scratches that were just maybe not even a half inch apart. And there was just 3 of them.
Wow.
Got the word stressed again.
It makes me stressed when I think about this.
I'm sure.
But I see these scratches and I'm like, my wife's going to freak out. So I put a shirt on before she could see them. And I took a picture of it. Go back to her. I'm like, hey, are you okay? What happened? And she's like, I thought you got up to go to the bathroom. She said she felt something get off the bed and then come back. And she said she felt it crawl up from the bottom. And that was when she woke up. She was like, Ben wouldn't be getting back into bed like this. Like, that's weird. And then she felt something sit on her chest and just start pushing her into the bed.
Oh, my gosh.
And she said it felt like, she said it was probably 2 minute stops, but she said it felt like 20, 30 minutes that she was being held into the bed. And like, she was like, I was trying to scream your name. And that was all I could get out, was that whisper. That was.
So did you stay the other 4 nights?
Yeah, we did. In the same room. And nothing else
happened. I'm a good wife, because I don't think my husband would have done that.
Yeah. And nothing else happened for the other 4 days that we were there, at least not to us personally. Anyways, the thing I wish I would have taken pictures of was, so the scratch, have you ever like burned yourself on the stove or gotten that little, like, kind of like a pus blister, like a little water blister?
Yeah, like a little white.
So that's what it looked like as it healed.
Weird.
So it healed like these 3 great big blisters, and eventually they just peeled off, and I have nothing to show for it. There's no scars. There's no marks. There's nothing. I didn't tell Marissa about the scratch on my chest, and she was going through our pictures on the way home and sending them like to her phone so she could save them to like her hard drive, you know, standard vacation stuff. And she's like, what is this? Like, what's this? And I was like, remember that night? And she was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, I had that was across my chest when I got up.
You're right.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. But
so did, when that happened, did you feel it?
No.
Did you feel anything?
If I did, I don't remember it. Because all I remember was hearing my wife say my name and me getting up. I think in that moment when she started yelling that something was holding her into the bed, you know, if I had any pain, my adrenaline was so high at that point, I couldn't feel anything. And I remember we just turned on the TV and watched a show for like the rest of that night until morning. And then we just went out around the ship that morning.
How long did it take to heal? Do you remember?
I'd say 2 weeks, maybe. Wow. 2 weeks tops. But that was a weird thing, was that, you know, when you get scabs and stuff, so they itch when they heal, and it's so hard to not like scratch at them or pick at them. And I remember doing that, just pulling off pieces of it as it healed. And then it just was gone.
Was it very deep?
No, I wouldn't say it was very deep. I'd say just like a surface like blister. Yeah, like it was a little wider. I mean, wider fingernails. Yeah, there was a good half inch gap between each scratch, but they were fairly even in their separation. And it was sideways. It wasn't like up and down or left and right. It was like crossways.
How long was it?
I'd say like my left chest to my mid abdomen.
6-8 inches.
It was decent.
Wow. That's interesting.
Did you go over to Catalina Island while you were there?
I know. So when we did that, we stayed on the Queen Mary, and then we just went to the beach, and we mostly just did beach stuff.
You know, that harbor between Catalina Island and the Queen Mary is one of the biggest hotspots for USOs. Did you know that?
Oh, no. Submerged objects.
Submerged objects. There's a lot of sightings out there. My husband and I have been out there several times. We've done some cruises, and I look every time.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't see anything, but supposedly it's a hot spot for USOs. So
that's really
isn't cool. That where that base is located, is under there?
Supposedly, yeah. Just off the coast.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learn something new every day.
Me too.
That was the event that really, because I was like, how could something hold my wife into the bed? Could it have killed her? You know, what if she would have died? Would I have been blamed? Would I have been taken to prison? You know what I mean? Like, I think about being in the line of work that I'm in. I think of all the legalities of every action, everything that happens in my life. And what if I was charged with murder? What if I couldn't prove it? What if I was sitting in a jail cell right now for the rest of my life?
The scratches on your chest wouldn't have helped your cause any either.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't have.
Does the word Ray mean anything to you? Because it's come up 3 times as well. R-A-Y. I'm getting the same 3 things. I'm getting Ray, to your right, and stressed.
I have a little candle going to my right.
You're right.
There we go again.
I have my drink to my right.
To my right, I have 2 dogs. I don't know.
I do have the Day the Earth Stood Still poster to my right against my wall.
That's a good show. Do you have any idea who that might have been in your room? Did your wife read anything on that room that would have?
We think it could have been 2 different things. I guess by we, I mean her, because she experienced it more than me. The 2 things that she thought of that it could have been was, number one, the things crawling from the bottom of the bed were the girls running for their mom. And then that was the dad suffocating the mother.
So he killed the mom.
And then he killed the daughters in the bathroom afterwards. And then he killed himself after he killed his children.
That's sad.
So the only 2 things we could think of was maybe on her chest was the children laying on her chest. Or if that was them running across the bed, and then it was the husband jumping on her and holding her into the bed, because I believe the mother was suffocated.
Oh, wow.
That's the only thing we could ever think of that it could have been. We went on a Carnival cruise in January, and it was shut down because they share that same dock. It was sad to just see it sitting there with no one on it.
I've heard that it's starting to sink, and so they don't allow guests on there anymore, but I don't know if that's true. So I'm kind of sad because we never,
that is sad.
We did do tours, but we never really got to stay. And that was always something that we wanted to do. So We want to hear about your UFO experience. This is the big thing, Mike. You're going to love this.
Okay. And I just want to say one thing before we do it, before I tell you the story.
Absolutely.
So I've been fascinated with UFOs since I was a kid, and my mom was always very supportive of my weirdness to an extent, you know. And so when I was in fourth grade, we had what was called the Great Brain Project, which was like a research project or a science fair project kind of thing, and you had to present it to the class. And I wanted to do it on UFOs and UFO sightings in Utah. And my mom was like, okay, this, you know, this is before like Google or the internet, and everything was like encyclopedia research and books. And we had three books at our local tiny library of local sightings and different pictures of shapes of different things that have been seen across.
And Utah was a hotbed for UFOs in the 50s.
Yeah. And so we made this giant placard of all of these, and she helped me draw all the UFOs.
What a good mom.
And yeah, and helped me like make a map and point to like where all of them were. And so I've always had that fascination since I was very young.
Me too.
Okay, so jumping forward, I just wanted to say that so people knew that, like, it was something that I've always been interested in. So I can't say a lot about who I was working for because I signed a non-disclosure agreement when I signed up for this particular job, but it was a security job out on the desert, a little ways from where I live, where I still live. It's about 4 or 5 miles away. And I was hired to do nighttime security along with my friend. And our boss took us out there the first night and kind of walked us around the area. And this particular area was surrounded by two dormant volcanoes and a big hill on the left that, looking at it straight on, is shaped like a pyramid. But when you look at it from the sky, it's kind of like an elongated semicircle, like a quarter of a circle, but it's still in this odd triangular shape. And all around it are all of these lava tubes. You have to be careful when you're walking out there because you could literally just fall through the ground. So anyways, our boss we get out there and he's like, hey, these are the things I want you to look at. Watch out for, make sure no one messes with anything. Just keep people out of here. That's your job. Just keep people out. Okay. And so me and my friend are just basically just hanging out. And then every 20, 30 minutes, we'd get out, walk around, look at the stuff, get back in his truck. And we just kind of had that rotation going. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, we were sitting in his truck, listening to music, and we broke out our lunch boxes and we started eating. And my friend was in the driver's seat. We were in his truck and he points out the window and he's like, are you seeing this right now? And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? And I like kind of lean around and look and I can't see anything. He's like, you got to get out of the truck so you can see this. And I'm like, okay. So we both get out of the truck and then lo and behold, 300, maybe 400 feet above that elongated triangular shaped hill is a UFO. And the thing that bothered me at that moment was that it was the typical like round circular shape, not like cigar shaped, or it was just round. And I remember there was colors pulsing from the bottom. And I can still never really remember exactly what colors they were, just that they were very bright. I remember it being kind of like orange, blue, and red, and they were just pulse. It was so quiet out there, and you could hear it humming, and it was just like this. That's really all that we remembered. We're staring at this for what felt like maybe 20, 30 minutes, and so it would have been like maybe 2:30, 2:40. And the next thing we know, we're waking up in his truck at about 6 o'clock in the morning to the sound of our boss pulling up behind us. And we have no idea what happened in that 3 hours.
So you were outside the truck watching this thing
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're inside the truck and your boss is pulling up.
Yeah. So we figure we lost 3 to 4 hours of lost time that we can't account for.
That gives me chills. I mean,
how lucky.
Lucky. He's like, I'm not sure about that. So
did you tell your boss?
No, I didn't. Unless he did. The kind of the funny thing about it was, like, me and him talked about it together for, you know, a week. Eventually we got separated at our job. So at one point they were filming in two locations. So he was at a certain spot and I was at a different spot. But anytime we were together, we were like, man, do you remember anything yet? And he'd freak out. He's like, no, I don't remember anything. And now he completely denies it. He'll say nothing happened. Nothing was there. I talked to his mom about it. I work with her as well. And she was like, oh, I have to ask him about it. And same thing. I told her, I was like, he will deny it. He will say nothing happened, that he has no idea what you're talking about. And he did. She brought it up to him and he said exactly that. I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing happened.
We did this live with Miriam maybe a month or two ago. And what did she tell you about that experience and your friend and why he denied it?
It was very interesting. I've only really talked about it with my wife, but I don't mind talking about it some more. So Miriam explained that there were two separate, I guess you could say, races of aliens. And while she was trying to describe the good ones, all of Melissa's equipment started going crazy. Like it was trying to interrupt the good message that was trying to come through. And I can't remember the exact words that were coming through, but I remember it wasn't pleasant.
Actually, I have the notes. Maybe I could look.
It was like dark, depressing words. She'd be in the middle of trying to share a message of the positive race. And
it kept saying doom.
Doom, yeah.
You know what's weird? It kept saying to your left. I have those notes here. That's weird.
Yeah.
And now it's saying to your right?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Maybe the bad group was to the left and the good group was to the right. I don't know.
That could be.
But it did kept saying the word doom.
Yeah. Just remember, it was like dark words. It wasn't anything positive.
Yeah.
And when she started trying to communicate with the darker race, everything stopped. We didn't get any words. There was no more beeping, no more interference. But she explained that I didn't go, that I just kind of watched. And my friend was taken and he saw things that she did not go into description.
To your right. With.
So weird.
But I remember her saying that the things that he saw, he does remember, and it caused him a lot of grief, sadness, confusion, which everything she said totally fit everything that he was, like how he acted around it.
He the topic, want to talk about it.
You're right.
Yeah, the topic was a trigger. It wasn't obviously a positive experience. She had me keep my eyes closed. And the weirdest part was when we started communicating with the second group. And I remember as my eyes were closed, it felt like someone was holding a kaleidoscope up, like in my mind, and turning the knob on the end. And it started out as scales that were just rotating. And then it turned more into a colorful kaleidoscope stained glass kind of picture that just kept rotating. And then there was just a red sphere, not like the sun. Like imagine if you were to put a red filter over the sun and make it look like it was out of like Mount Doom from the Lord of the Rings. It was this dim, musky, dull red light. And it just kind of hovered. And that's all I could see in my mind. And I remember Miriam was saying, okay, I want Ben, like, I want you to wake up now. Like, I want you to come out of it. And I couldn't open my eyes. I was seeing this. I didn't see anything else. I remember at one point I saw black circle and it had like a grayish silver color that went forward over it. But that was before the red ball. All I really remember is the kaleidoscope and that red sun-like dim orb that just spun in a circle. And I could not for the life of me open my eyes. And I told her, I was like, I'm having a really hard time opening my eyes. I feel okay, but I feel gross. I felt heaviness on my chest. And it took probably 3 to 5 minutes until I could open my eyes.
I remember that.
That was the weirdest part for me. When we were talking about the first group, it was very warm, very inviting, very positive experience, positive emotions, positive feelings. And to have that completely flip. And also, while I was having those positive moments, you still had those distractions where doom and those other sounds and beeps and voices were coming in. I tried to maintain my focus on the good feeling that it gave me.
Do you remember what she said about why you had this experience in the first place and what the two different groups meant?
To your right.
To your right.
I have the N430. It was written down. And when we looked it up, it
That's
was
right.
a planet or a space outside of Mercury.
When we looked it up, N430 is actually a planet just outside of Neptune. And there is a star that is titled Kepler 430.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
She said that the one group was an alien family of some sorts. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, because she kept saying they're trying to just invite you into the family. And she told me that I had liberty to communicate with either one, that I had the ability to communicate with the darker one or the lighter one, that there was nothing that she could do to keep me from choosing which one to speak to. But I haven't tried to. I've wanted to, but Miriam also warned me that weird stuff was going to happen for a while. And it has.
He was talking about that when we were trying to schedule a time to do this interview. And he's like, you would not believe the weird stuff that's happened.
Like even that night after we had finished or we were finishing up, the bottom of my basement just started shaking. Just like something was just boom.
I remember that happened during the episode.
Yeah.
Something was like...
Yeah, and I went upstairs because my friend Stephanie was here, and I was like, I'm going to go upstairs and see if something's going on outside.
Right, I remember
and
that.
And my neighbor was outside working on his chicken coop, and that was it. Nothing else. He wasn't pounding any posts. He wasn't using a shovel. It was a lot of impact because it was enough to shake my room, and my room's in the basement. And that night, I have a door that goes down a hallway, and there's three sets of cylinder light fixtures, and the lights outside of my room died, both at the same time. Not any of the others. They're all installed at the same time. They're still out. I've gotten random, like a bug infestation that is only staying centralized in one area of my house. It's not going anywhere. I've had it sprayed.
We got the word insects. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. And I've gotten it sprayed 3 times. Luckily, I only had to pay for the one time because each time the guy comes back within 30 days, I don't have to pay for it. But they'll leave for a day and then they'll be back. Another weird one, I was... So one of my other hobbies on the side, I record music. And I was recording a song. I was on night shifts. So when my wife and my kid are asleep, I would just come downstairs and play guitar and try and record some podcast episodes or some songs. And in the video, I remember I was trying to get my guitar to sound right on my recorder. And so I was just recording myself with my phone and trying to get the pitch right because for some reason it wasn't working on my computer. And I start watching it. And while I'm recording and I'm playing guitar and I'm singing, this window directly behind me, all of these orbs start forming around me. And then they started going out past my shoulder and out the window. And then they go up.
That's creepy.
Yeah. And other things, it's just been weird. I don't want to say like attitude changes, but I could feel myself like smaller things would upset me more, which I became aware of. Apologize. I'm sorry. I don't know.
But that you're aware. Yeah.
Yeah. But I've tried to stay cognizant of anything that changed within myself or within my surroundings. And so when I feel it happen, I take a step back and like, hey, you know, I apologize, whatever, start over, and then continue on with whatever I was going to do. Weird stuff like
that. Do you feel like they're still trying to reach out to you? Or what do you think all these occurrences mean?
I don't know, because I also see like more stuff keeps coming back to me while I'm thinking about it. But I'll always see stuff out the side of my like peripheral vision when I'm not at work, when I'm just at home, or I'm at the store. There'll always be something on my side, but it's small. It's never big. It's never tall. They kind of remind me of
your right.
I mean, both. Yeah.
I mean, I just got to your right.
That's interesting, because I know whenever I see whatever it is, I'm always looking to my left and to my right, which could mean something too, to the left and to the right.
It's weird, because the last session we did, it was to your left, and now it's to your right.
I'd say they're about the size or a little bigger than my daughter, and my daughter's probably just over 3 feet tall. But weird stuff like, and I'm sure I could think of more the more I think about it, but those are the main ones that stick out in my mind.
How did having that experience change your view on the universe in general?
That's a good question. I'm always thinking, because I'm always contemplating different thought processes, different meanings, why this could be happening. But I feel like it's made me more cognizant. I have felt, I'm a fairly religious person, but I have felt a separation between my mental processing and my spirituality, because you're always trying to find not necessarily a specific answer, but I have felt an intellectual separation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. Have your views on the paranormal changed at all since you've had these experiences? Is there anything that you would have thought years ago that your view has changed on now?
Honestly, it's made me want to do more communication, like to try and do more. I haven't been able to. Anytime I've planned something, I mean, just like this podcast, like I've had to reschedule 3 times. Every time I've tried to talk to you about my experience, something has come up.
You think something that's trying to stop you from talking about it?
I feel both. It's like something doesn't want to be made known, but like if we're all paying attention to what's going on in the news and what's going on in the world, the UFO that they released the footage of from like 2008
footage.
Yeah. They're now coming back out with that, with a supposed whistleblower that's saying that it wasn't human, that it wasn't of this world, that we've attempted communication, and that we've tried all of these things. And I've seen it on lots of different networks recently. And most of my friends that are kind of big in the UFO community too are always sending me stuff like, hey, have you seen this? Like, check out these video clips, check out these news clips. And it's kind of odd too that I got to learn more about my experience, and since then, UFO activity has just skyrocketed. Right.
And I'm sure you're familiar with the Skinwalker Ranch series on the History Channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Utah, so.
Yeah.
And they've discovered some pretty amazing things out there that just kind of blow my mind. Mm-hmm. I hope that we'll be able to find some answers to at least part of these things soon.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting closer. And I guess the more we research it, the more we'll find out, hopefully.
Yeah.
What would be your ultimate, if you could have any question answered, what would it be?
From the paranormal perspective, I think just from the paranormal perspective, I would like to know more of, depending on your belief system or like how you were raised, the paranormal, the research I have done has helped me to personally understand that the spirit world is kind of all around us. And
I agree with that 100%.
But the question I would want to know is, why are there some spirits that just get stuck and harbored here and feel like they can't move on? Because that's what I've helped the most with Central Utah Paranormal. We help people in their homes experiencing hauntings and just weird stuff happening in their homes to help get rid of it. You'll also run into good spirits that don't know where to go or why they're there,
right,
and feel lost. And so that part of me is the question I want to know is, why are you still here? Why can't you find a way, or why can't you move along?
That would be one of my questions as well, for sure. What about you, Mike?
I would want to know how much they can see us in our world, and how, if they can at all, manipulate a door or a light, like the flashlights when they turn on, or how they can project their voice through a white noise device.
Yeah.
Can't do that. So how can they do that?
Right. How does it all work?
How do you do that? You know, you don't have a physical body. So how you project it, how does that work? Can you walk through a wall, or do you have to go through an open doorway? So if you can walk through a wall, you shouldn't be able to grab a door and open it. So which one is it? I've always wondered about that.
Stressed. I just got more stressed again. Literally
again.
The same three things have been popping up over and over again.
Dinner, because I'm getting stressed because I haven't eaten yet. So.
Oh, well, my dinner's cooking in the oven and it smells really good. So I want to go eat it. Anything you'd like to say before we sign off?
I want to know, was that the only UFO experience at that same place with your friend? Did you see more things, or did other people see things?
As far as I know, no. As far as that particular night and within the 2 weeks that I worked for that company, that was the only thing as far as like UFO related that we experienced out there.
Did you go through any of the lava tubes?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, it's actually where I grew up. We used to go hiking out there when I was a Boy Scout. So like we used to go camp there, hike there. That particular night, we did not, because we were instructed to stay specifically where we were stationed. But in my past, yes, I've climbed through and gone through all the different caves and things.
Is there anything unusual about the caves that would attract that? Why would they be there?
You mean as far, why would the aliens be there?
Why did they choose that spot? Does the cave have anything to do with it?
That's what I don't know. And the one thing too, I mean, when you drive out there and you see the pyramid shape, you're like, what? And then, that's probably the most concerning thing for me out there. It wasn't so much the lava tubes or the dormant volcanoes, just the shape of that hill and the fact that straight on it looks like a pyramid.
So their GPS was off and they went to the wrong pyramid.
Maybe.
I think they knew where they were going.
Well, maybe they had a little bit too much to drink and got the wrong pyramid.
No, I think they know what they were doing. They were there to see Ben and his friend.
Well, that's probably true.
Mike and I love to explore caves. It's like our favorite
thing. Oh, yeah. So, I even got a helmet now, so I don't bust my head open.
We actually just went on a cave adventure last weekend. So if we ever want to come out there and explore caves, are you up for it?
Yeah, and I actually have one of my friends at work.
Just went off.
Oh, one of my friends at work owns the Crystal Ball Caves.
Oh.
So that's towards the Nevada border by where I live, but I'm sure we could take you guys out there for a tour anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Because I haven't done it with him yet either, so I'd like to.
Heck yeah.
Hey, when you go out there, send me a message and we'll head out. I don't even care what day of the week it is. I'll just come because it's like our favorite thing to do. So
that sounds good.
Really appreciate you being on our show and sharing your story with us. And I think it helps other people that have been afraid to share their stories come forth and share. I think it really helps a lot. So I appreciate that and appreciate you being a guest.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
It's been fun.
Nice to meet you.
It's been nice to meet you too.
If you enjoy our show, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. For more information, visit www.destination-mystery.com.
Find your own destination.
And solve the mystery.